Welcome back to Screen Crush Rewind. I am your humble host, Ryan Airy, and today we're going to talk about something. This is a little bit old news, but we finally got around to talking about this. We're going to talk about how the Russo brothers said that Avengers Doomsday, they're thinking of in terms of a phase zero. They don't want anything about the movie to rely on previous movies or films as much as possible, which seems impossible to do. So we're going to talk about that and some other Marvel tidbits. Also, a leaked trailer for Spider-Man Brand New Day dropped. I, of course, didn't watch the leaked trailer. I would never do such a thing. However, there are rumors and rattlings I've heard about it online that I think we're going to talk about, because it sounds like it could be an interesting film based on what we've seen so far. We're going to just talk about latest news on that. And of course, we want to hear from you guys down in the comments and in the super chats. Let us know what you think about all this. And as always, super chats are encouraged, but not required. And later we'll talk about what we're going to do next regarding different membership things. We're going to do X2. And I want to know from you guys for our X2 watch party, if you would rather us do that in the evening or during the day. We're toying with the idea of doing it during the day, but let us know. If you're a store member, let us know. And if you're not, hey, why not join for a month? Get a join the $5 tier and get a 15% merch discount. But first, let me bring on our special panelists. We got one or two people who might be running a bit late, but first up, you know him as Doug's attorney, Mr. Mike Mazzella. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Ryan. A little awkward. I got to say, I'm a little caught off guard. You're talking about Marvel and Doomsday, and I thought we were here today to talk about the big news, which is, of course, we finally got a Whalefall trailer.
Yeah, I know.
After all the anticipation, wow. Whalefall is coming. That whale is falling. Who's going to catch it? I don't know. Not me. All right. But I know that me and all my fellow whale watchers out there are going to be in the theaters day one. I already got my tickets.
The tickets went on sale today, too, and I missed it. Well, my theater will be sold out.
I got special connections. Okay. I had to do a whole nautical thing. I don't know if you noticed. That's also why I'm wet. I'm not sweaty. It's just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's a really interesting blank sky background behind you as well. Very, very.
Yeah. Thanks. I also, I mean, whale fall. This whale is falling.
I couldn't even read it. Yeah, I got you. And if you guys are behind on this, we covered the Disney upfronts thinking we would get a trailer for something. And instead, we got the announcement of Whalefall, which we were all very excited about. Next up, you know her from her very own channel, Whitney Vision. Here she is, Ms. Whitney Van Lanningham. What is going on, Whitney? How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Wow, it's been so long since somebody actually asked me that. I'm great.
That's why I'm here, baby. I'm here because I care about you.
I care about you, Ryan. I just want to throw that out there.
No,
you care about whales, Mike. Don't lie.
I also care about the whales, okay? Some of them are endangered.
Whitney, is that Pugsley on your pillow behind you?
This is a pug mask. You can wear it on your head.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah. Then you become a pug. And it's great. Brett was Pugsley for Halloween a few years ago.
Excellent. And yeah, I love it. Love it. You should wear that on Whitney Vision sometimes when you're doing your own videos and animated breakdowns. So it would fit right
in. Yeah. Oh, that was such a sick plug. That was such a seamless plug.
See what I do for you? You see the things I do? It's like, and if you love Mike's level of humor, you can always, of course, catch him at his comedy shows every week. Mike M. Comedy on Instagram with links for that down below. And finally, a guy who has his own YouTube channel who also does a lot of stuff here at Screen Crush as a full-time staff member. You know him as the guy who's trapped in our TV and doesn't know it, so please don't tell him, Mr. Colton Ogburn.
Ogburn. I don't care how you're doing. I don't
Whoa.
Care.
Yeah, that's okay, man. You're in good company with the rest of Earth.
I really care how you're doing.
No.
Hey, I messaged you. My camera's giving me trouble. Once you want to know what the problem was?
What?
Yes.
You're too beautiful.
What? Fucker wasn't plugged
in. No!
Wait. That'll do it.
I'll be honest, I wasn't paying attention at the start of what you said. What wasn't plugged in?
The camera just wasn't plugged. I'm sitting there like troubleshooting.
Oh, your camera wasn't
the actual
plugged
camera
in.
And everything. And then I look and the cable that connects it to my computer is just
dangling.
I gotta say, for all the technical problems that I have, that's not one of them. I know where the cables go.
I'm sitting there troubleshooting, going into the settings, checking the HDMI out and the cable.
Just dangling the whole time, mocking you like the pit in the pendulum, swinging back and forth. Well, Colton, I'm glad you're here. And if you missed it in the intro, but we're going to talk about how the Russo brothers have been talking about this phase zero. I want to go over that news with you guys. And I want to hear, first of all, what you guys think that means for the multiverse saga and whether or not it's required viewing. Is that shitting on the multiverse saga? But then later, I want to talk about this idea of a soft reboot and maybe what you're hopeful or what you're looking forward to the MCU kind of getting rid of in the soft reboot. And what you want to see them keep. And of course, you guys can let us know in the comments. Super chats are always, like I said, encouraged, but not required. So let's start with this quote from the Russos, right? They were at South by Southwest London, which, by the way, also the site of a pretty kick-ass coffee shop. I don't know if you guys are up on that. Joe Russo, speaking to the Hollywood Reporter from South by Southwest London, said the serial shifting and surprising and then reinventing itself and then shifting and changing. I think you're going to see some shifting and changing with Doomsday. We were both talking about this concept that we are back to phase zero. This is starting over from scratch. We want to make sure everybody feels like this isn't leaning on anything from the past.
Damn, say shifting and changing one more time, boys. Say it.
Yeah,
one more
I don't
time.
Know what the context of that was. I don't say it one more time. Now, what do you guys say? One more goddamn time. How in the hell can this movie? Let's just start with a practical matter. How can Avengers Doomsday, with all those chairs, how can they possibly? And I'm not saying it's not possible, but how can they tell a story that's not reliant on knowledge of the past? The Russos even said, by the way, they could not have made the movie Captain America Civil War if it weren't for what had come before in the MCU. There's no way to make that movie work with a quarter of the cast without the previous history of the MCU.
Can I just say,
you think it's possible that the first hour of the movie is just exposition?
No,
just like, and here's this person.
Might be.
And this person.
Yeah, here's
and
the
here's Hulk's son Scar. Like,
I'm elated to have our two fine guests here, but I do wish that Alex was here because he wrote a great article saying, can the Russos just be normal about Doomsday? Yeah. And talks about their tone poems and everything. Yeah. They're so weird, man. When you were reading that, my eyes just glazed over. He sounds like he's trying to meet a word count on an essay that's due in 4 minutes. Like,
no, seriously. How many times? He said shifting and changing 3 times. That's somebody who's looking to hit a word count.
I thought it was a typo.
The thesaurus open.
Double space, make the periods a larger font.
You can do it.
Bring in the margins.
You can totally do it. I mean, we didn't need the origin story of Han Solo, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca, Lando Calrissian, you know, everybody to watch Star Wars. Right. Lando's in the second
one. Well, but that was five cast members, not 50.
Oh, Darth Vader, the Stormtroopers. You know, just every movie has a shit ton of characters in it. Like, but you don't need
so much. Yeah, the Stormtroopers got me there.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you don't need, like, all these build-up films for each character. You can have an ensemble cast, sure. And I think do a movie that'll work. And if that's what they're saying is you can walk into Doomsday and just watch it, sure. I don't know why they're feeling the need to say this is from scratch, this is phase zero. Everyone saw Avengers Endgame like multiple times. That movie nearly cracked 3 billion. So I don't know why they're even really feeling the need to say it's completely from scratch. But I just wish they would be normal. And if they don't have anything to say about Doomsday yet, that's fine. Shut up. Just stop talking
about Harry.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, Whitney, I don't know. Tell me what you think here as far as this idea.
I don't know what phase zero fucking means. What
we can talk about phase zero
mean?
Then.
What does that even mean?
Phase
so that
zero.
Just well,
it's do a you guys prequel think? Phase one confirmed.
Yeah, okay, it's so this is the prequel? Is this the Phantom Menace of the MCU? Like, is that what are we going to get? Are we going to get Dr. Doom pod racing? Because that's what I want, baby.
Godzilla minus one and phase one.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think they literally meant it's phase zero, right? I do think what they mean, though, is they're trying to achieve something where you don't have to have seen the multiverse saga to come into this. I think they have to do a very weird... But that's the thing. The reason why they did it is because corporate forced them to make too much shit for Disney Plus, so they couldn't make Avengers movies over the past few years because it was logistically impossible because they were being asked to make hundreds of hours of content while also getting an Avengers movie ready for last year, which is what their original plan was. So the fact that they've not only been handed make a good movie, but make a good movie that wraps up the saga, but that also ignores the saga. Seems very weird to me because the saga had good shit And I'm really disappointed that we're not, that it's going to be focused on Steve Rogers and not Shang-Chi.
I think I know what they might do with it. And it's kind of like the, almost like the obvious thing to do, but they have a way to get out of it without it seeming cheap. And that is to keep the good and get rid of the bad, right? They're going to have some things from the multiverse saga that need to be known for this movie, right? You need to know what's going on with Loki. You're going to be very confused if you don't know what's going on with Loki. Good news is that one was a hit, right? They're not going to touch Secret Invasion, but good news there is not a lot of people watched that. Not a lot of people watched Ironheart. Nobody watched Echo. Like, there's a bunch of things that they're just not going to touch because they don't need to. And I feel like the things that people actually watched, like WandaVision, even if you didn't see Captain America, Brave New World, you probably watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier because it was the pandemic and everyone watched it. You know that Sam Wilson is Captain America. Probably a lot of people watched Thunderbolts when it eventually came out on streaming, right? Like, I know it didn't do well at the box office, but then the hype got around. I think they're going to acknowledge and use the good stuff as crucial plot points, and everything that was not popular or didn't go over well, they're just going to,
Well, Mike, you're speaking in generalities a lot there. You know, you're saying like everybody did this.
You want me to say specifics, like who I think is staying and who I think
No. Hold on. I got to follow up. when Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness came out, a lot of, like, let's just say general audiences, civilians, and that movie made a lot of money, right? A lot of people showed up and were confused because they didn't watch WandaVision, because not everybody has a Disney Plus subscription. Now, I know WandaVision obviously was watched by a lot of people, had a lot of buzz, but the normal people out there who don't follow, who don't have YouTube channels, aren't necessarily following every single thing that comes out. And a lot of those people did skip Thunderbolts and all these other things. So, I mean, when you're talking about everybody saw this, I think you're talking about either the people who saw it in theater or the people with the Disney Plus subscription. And I do understand that they do kind of have to go back to Endgame and go, hey, remember, this is a sequel to the last Avengers movie.
I think more time has elapsed between when this movie is going to come out and when Loki came out or WandaVision came out compared to when WandaVision came out and Multiverse of Madness came out. I think by now, even if you didn't take the time to watch all of the shows on Disney Plus, there are these wonderful channels on YouTube that break down and summarize all of the things that happened at the plot points. I think a lot of people were like, I'm going to skip that show, but I'll get the summary. I'll get the spark notes. And at least by now, when you get to Doomsday, the people that care enough to clock the plot points will have caught themselves up, even if they didn't want to commit a bunch of time to Hawkeye or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
If the Loki series or a YouTube channel recap is required viewing to see this movie, they have already failed going into it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know so many people who didn't watch Loki.
What, Whitney?
Oh, I know so many people who didn't watch Loki. I know so many people who fell off after pretty much WandaVision, and then they just kind of never got back on. So it is, I think it is really a huge disservice to all of the work that they did in the multiverse saga to have them say things like, oh no, don't worry, we're going back to phase zero. You guys won't have to know any of that bullshit we did. Ha ha. Can you believe we did all that crazy stuff? No more. You don't have to worry about that ever again. That just does such a disservice to all of the really cool parts of the multiverse saga. So I'm a little annoyed with phase zero. I'm like, fuck off. You're just not smart enough to think of a way to wrap it up good.
And here's if they did wrap it up perfectly, I just kind of, I was getting that with Mike. I think a lot of people, most people would, who is this? Like, I don't who's this person? No, you totally. Know, a lot of that. Yeah.
Well, and here's the good thing about this being a direct sequel to Endgame, which I called months before they said that. let me do my little victory.
Well, you want a medal? Yeah. Like, congratulations.
Clap for Tinkerbell so she doesn't die.
Sorry, wait, I stepped on your joke.
Oh, no, it's okay.
One of the great things about it being a direct sequel, though, and I love Loki. I think a lot of people saw Loki, but I think anytime, even if it's a hit TV show, even like something like WandaVision that we were all in lockdown and like everybody watched it, you can't have a TV show be required viewing for a movie. I mean, I've said that till I'm as blue as this void behind me in the face. So with Loki, you have a huge loose end in Endgame that is directly tied to time travel and branching timelines and the multiverse. You could so easily, with how Endgame ended and Steve going into the quantum realm and all that, there's going to be a scene in Doomsday that they can so easily catch us up with a conversation between Loki and some other character to let everybody know, yeah, when you guys tampered with time, this thing happened. And that will tell you everything you need to know. And then that'll, you know, help the Loki series probably do even more numbers, like, oh, maybe I'll go watch that series. But it, if they just open with Loki sitting on the throne at the end of time and like don't even bother to like give us any information on that, which I do not think they'll do, that would be a very, very big mistake, I think.
If they want to do real box office numbies, they will show Loki making out with Owen Wilson on the back of a fucking jet ski like we all goddamn wanted. If that's how they can hook me with Phase Zero. Let's go.
But for real, Whitney, that should just be the trailer. Like that, I don't know if you've ever seen Big Top Pee Wee, but it has the longest on-screen kiss of all time. It's just like a 5-minute push-in followed by a 5-minute pull-out. Crazy.
But I think that this whole Phase Zero thing is a five-minute pull-out, Ryan.
Tell us more about that.
It kind of defeats the purpose. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a real slow pull-out game. I don't know about you.
Nope, it's I'm not going to do my rising
slowly. Sorry, Mike, go ahead. What were you saying?
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, like, I think this would be a stupid idea, but I'm trying to think of other interpretations of Phase Zero, and it's like, what if they're going to show us, like, ancient MCU? They're going to reset everything, and then the first thing that we get is, like, the Celestials. It's like, we're rebooting, and we're starting with Eternals again.
Well,
we're rebooting, and we're starting with God and the Garden of Natural
But there
delight.
Was a comic like, book called Marvel Saga that did that, that, like, narrated the whole fucking thing from the start. Sorry, Whitney, go ahead. Mm. Starting with the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, no, starting at the Garden of Eden, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
I mean,
back
I'd
to,
be down to see a
to
Thor
Big Bang.
Movie that's set in ancient Viking times. Like, that'd be sick, right? Like, we got a Thor movie set in like 500 AD. Like, that'd be dope.
Well, okay, you bring up a good point. I want to circle back to talking about Loki and stuff, but I want to talk about this in a bit, so I'll just bring it up now. So the idea that they keep bringing up where Feige said at one point, we're going to do a soft reset, right? I think we've talked about this on various live streams before, but I'm kind of like looking back and going, there are some things that would be really cool to do. Now, obviously, you can retcon Secret Invasion. It never happened, and you can do a real Secret Invasion movie like it should have been. But also, you brought up a good point, because Thor was not in, like, one of the problem people have with the movies is that he's a little kid during Norse times. So where did the legend of Thor come from? So maybe that's one of those things they can retcon in this new universe where Thor was active during, he was born in year zero and not year 500. That's a kind of a cool thing they could adapt and change. And I love that idea.
Here's the reason it's called Phase Zero, like, seriously, or not that it's called Phase Zero, but I think I know, was it Joe Russo that said this? It's usually
probably
him that says all the stupid
talking.
Shit.
He's like Aaron.
Yeah, he's the talkative one. I think what it means is, I mean, if you've read the 2015 Secret Wars, you know, and they're adapting it and Time Runs Out is really going with Doomsday. We're going to see the multiverse collapse. We're going to get Battle World. And then at the end of Secret Wars, we're going to get a brand new universe. And there's an interview they did a few months back. I forget which outlet it was with, where they mentioned, the Russos mentioned, that this is not so much an ending as it is a beginning. And I think that's pretty much what they're saying here, is that I do think that Doomsday is going to feel like a final chapter in a lot of ways, but then probably about midway through the film or in the third act is when we see that Phase Zero start. And that's when this new beginning to this new universe that leads into the Mutant Saga begins. So I think that's
all of their marketing... I agree, because all the marketing is based on countdowns.
Yeah.
So you count down to zero. I think maybe that's what they're going for with it. That makes total sense. But also, it's the cycle of the universe. I mean, most astrophysicists believe that, you know, we began with the Big Bang, and that there's two theories. Either the universe keeps expanding forever until atoms are, you know, millions of light years apart, or it hits a certain point and then coalesces into a big crunch, which then starts the cycle again.
Like collapse.
And that cycle... Yep. Is what they do in the Marvel comics. That's where Galactus comes from. He's a holdover from the previous universe.
And no idea what you're talking about, man. God made the earth in 7 days. Says so in the Bible.
Says so in the
Bible.
Also
got that.
No such thing as dinosaurs. Well, dinosaurs are wrong because those aren't in the Bible.
And that's why we're talking about the fiction of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, guys, not the real world that you guys live in.
The real
visualize the fictional MCU where evolution and the Big Bang exists. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
They visualize the big crunch though in Loki, like tying it back to Loki. Yeah. In the finale of Loki, they show that it collapse and then go back in on itself and the Big Bang happen again. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And the black holes are also God, tied. Yeah. Black holes are also tied to the multiverse itself, because in that same sequence you're talking about, the start of Loki 106, the camera pulls out again. Mm-hmm. It takes like 5 minutes to pull all the way out, and then and yeah, 13
pull out
and
of then, the black hole.
And then and then like it goes into another universe through the other black hole that it's like next to. So yes, that is like. Then Ouroboros keeps describing, like, yeah, you know, it's like when you the black hole turned you into spaghetti, and then we see that's what incursions also do. They turn people into spaghetti in this, like, weird, you know, noodle kind of look, like we saw in the end of Loki season two. So Loki is kind of at the center of this, which is unfortunate because it was a streaming show that is very complicated to explain to people. And I'm curious how you guys think they should or would or could address Loki and his new role in the show, because if you pull somebody off the street, it's insane. Oh, did you see the Avengers movies? Oh yeah, I like those. Did you like Loki? Oh yeah, he died, right? Well, no, he didn't die. He went to this place with these time cops, right? And then so there's this thing, and this guy is at the center of the universe. It is so fucking weird and so hard to explain. So how do you bring him in as the guy who can explain things to people while you also have to explain him? I want to hear some theories.
I think it's exactly like Colton said. They bring him back, and it's just one of those things where, like, you didn't need to see what happened with him at the TVA and everything. You saw him go through a time door. He comes back out through a time door. This is kind of like his Gandalf the White moment, right? Like, Loki returns, but yeah. He's changed.
Yeah.
And we don't need to know how he changed or why he changed.
I mean, he's gayer now. Spoiler.
He's much gayer now. He's much more fluid.
He comes back way gayer.
Loki, they are very fluid. Wow. And
it's Pride Month. Let me have it.
But when Gandalf the White came back, there was a flashback, right? He didn't just narrate.
Eventually, so that, right? Like not.
Well, no, he shows up, and then like he shows up, and then he's like, "Oh, I fought the thing," and they're showing all that stuff. Like they're showing what happened to him as he tells them.
I don't think they need to have the flashback.
I'm notorious. Okay.
No,
you don't think they'll do that in a flashback? I'm notorious for hating exposition, but I love it when it's between two characters that actually need to share information with one another in a story.
Right.
So if we see Loki like encounter Thor or encounter Steve Rogers and just say, hey, you know, that thing you did in Endgame, and hey, everybody watching, you know, too, because I know you saw the movie like twice. You know, that thing that happened. Oh, well, I went to the end of time and I saw the just like three sentences. I went to the end of time. I saw the universe dying. You know, pretty much that speech that Kang gave to Janet. Just
I'm a big tree now, boys. Yeah. I don't know what else to tell you.
That's the only problem with this. Yeah. Now that we're like really working it out, is if he has that conversation, how does he not include that conversation? Oh, and by the way, there's this guy called Kang the Conqueror, and then we get into a whole thing about Kang that we then have to explain away.
All right. Well, let's get to Kang.
If Loki does the exposition, he has to talk about Kang. If we talk about Kang in this movie,
but I will say this:
why he's not in this movie.
There's a really good reason for him to do the exposition to whoever he talks to. If he talks to a hero, if it's Thor, he's going to grab his hammer and maybe not realize, you know, or Captain America would definitely think, because he doesn't know that Loki was reformed. So I think he would react defensively. And then Loki has to explain that, as Whitney just said so well, he's a big tree now. But then what about Kang? Is he just getting ignored because of the Loki finale? Is he just not?
I think
they don't mention him at all.
I don't think you need to mention Kang. I think that Kang is, I mean, he's really irrelevant to our current state, is that Loki understands the multiverse is collapsing. He's trying to fix it. There are many people who have tried to, you know, conquer the multiverse in the past, blah, blah, blah. Our latest threat is this Dr. Doom guy. Like that's all he needs to say, that the multiverse is vast. It's dying. I'm trying to save it. I don't think you need to mention Kang. Really,
if you think about it from the perspective of a fan who has only seen the movies and the shows and does not know anything about the outside world and what went on with Jonathan Majors and any of that, doesn't know that he's not able to return and all of that, they would think, okay, yeah, well, that big thing with the Council of Kangs, that's like when we saw Thanos at the end of the first Avengers movie, but he didn't show up until Infinity War. So maybe in their minds, or at least from like a naive audience's perspective, oh, Kang is still coming, but he's further down the line and he's worse than Doom. And then, I don't know, at some point they either recast Kang or do away with that. But I don't think they need to address
Loki it. Loki has to go on a podcast and explain Kang works with Ben Shapiro now, and we don't talk to him anymore.
I don't think anyone's going to go into Doomsday and ask, where's Kang? Because, I mean, we're certainly not going to ask because we know.
I don't either.
And I don't think any general audience member is going to care to ask.
I don't think that the general audience is going to care either. But at the same time, it just... This isn't necessarily like a thing where I think that people are going to go into this movie and be like, what? What happened to Kang? Where did that guy go? I think that it's more of the fact that it's like, this is like another thing in a long line of things that they will seemingly never wrap up. And I think that that's kind of more so the issue than any one of those specific things not coming back. Like, do I need to see Harry Styles in the MCU? No, mm-hmm. It will change my life 0%. Yeah, it'll change my life 0%. But they put those things in front of me and then they're just either never going to tell me or they're going to tell me so far into the future that it kind of won't matter at that point.
16 years in the future and explained by a newscast. Yeah.
No, exactly. And so I think that that's more so the frustrating thing for me. I think it's going to be less that people are like, oh man, what happened to that Kang fellow? I think it's more going to be, why the fuck do they keep giving us these huge plot points and these like crazy, like post-credit scenes, cliffhangers that imply so much and then never do anything with it?
I think we're kind of not addressing the elephant in the room here. And that is that when the MCU was in its heyday in the Infinity Saga, right? Like when Captain America Civil War was so good and everybody went to go watch it. And I say everybody, like Marvel fans multiple times, but civilians, people off the street, then they saw that movie and they went, oh, Spider-Man, oh, Black Panther, what's up with them? They saw Infinity War, they saw the end credits, and they said, oh, who's that about? Who's Captain Marvel? Something has to be good in order to feed people the next thing. And Marvel kind of hit this mid, I don't want to call it superhero fatigue. I think it was mid fatigue. So the Russo brothers now have to kind of go through and go, well, what's worth mentioning? What did people care about? What resonated with people? And like you said, Colton, Quantumania had like an 80% drop off in its second weekend. I think it was pretty bad. Yeah. Like whatever it was.
69.
Oh, yeah.
Six, seven.
Here's the thing about the Russo brothers, what they dedicate time to explaining, right? I think, again, this supports my theory that they're going to spend time, a little bit of exposition time, explaining the things that are important that people might not know. But the things that are important that they feel like people definitely already know, they're not going to spend time on. They did not spend time in Infinity War explaining who Thanos was. They did spend time in Endgame explaining what the Aether is, because probably not a lot of people saw Thor the Dark World.
That's
right?
True. That's
so they're like, whatever we know is popular, we're not going to waste time explaining. If there's something that's not as popular, didn't get the credit it deserved or didn't get the viewership it deserved, but we feel like it's important enough to be a part of this movie, we will dedicate 2 minutes of exposition to that topic.
Oh, go ahead, Colton. Sorry.
Did we meet Maria Hill before the first Avengers movie?
Yes. No.
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 No, she's not in Iron Man 2, is she?
They didn't do any background, who her parents are, where she came from, the trauma she went through as a child. We didn't need any of that. We just got it. Like, she was there.
Oh, yeah, she's a woman. She's a soldier. She's in a uniform.
It's mandatory in the MCU to tell people if you're an orphan, Colton. You have to fucking tell.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Especially if you have dad issues.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then. What is one thing you... Go ahead, Colton.
No, I was just going to say, my point is that with, what's his name? The dipshit Captain America guy.
John Walker.
Wyatt Russell.
Johnny Mayonnaise.
All of these like, the characters, you don't have to have
know who Sam
this.
Wilson you were trying to think of. If it was like, what was that guy's name? The one I really didn't like. Sam Wilson. That was
Yeah, it's Tommy. John Walker. Not my Captain America. Yeah, anyway.
Tommy says that all the time.
Yeah, no, he does.
Yeah, when he's not on the podcast. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Grumbling
into, I've heard him screaming into the kitchen sink. I've heard Tommy just say that at random times.
I just think a lot of those characters are just kind of, you get it. You don't have to have all this background stuff. You just kind of get it. Like, oh, okay.
You're bringing up Maria Hill, who is like S.H.I.E.L.D. soldier number one. I mean, that's like, you didn't have to know a lot about her. But like, for instance, Shang-Chi shows up, right? Shang-Chi is somebody who I think has something that will be in this movie. You know, Whitney, you mentioned those post-credits teases that won't be mentioned, like Brett Goldstein, Hercules, Star Fox. But if the Eternals would have been a big hit, absolutely they would be in this movie. But I do think that the beacon at the end of Shang-Chi is going to be addressed somehow, and that'll be what draws him into the movie in some way. So there are going to be ways where I think the Eternals just won't get mentioned. And if they ever do, it'll be in some sequel involving Star-Lord, I hope, or something like that. But in this movie, maybe they'll be in Secret Wars. We did a video about that a while back. But what do you guys think is going to be the thing that will stay in that they can use from the multiverse saga to address? And then we'll name one thing that they kind of just are going to shuffle off to the side.
What are they going
to
pull out?
Yeah. What are they going to pull out? How long is it going to take?
And how long is it going to take?
The black hole.
We'll have to pull out. It takes a long time.
One more, we get demonetized. Seriously. And if you're listening to us on any podcast platform, you have no idea what we're doing right now. Like, the visuals are so gross. He does have a nice nautical shirt on. Have one thing of each?
One thing to keep and one thing to get rid of?
One thing to keep, one thing you think they get rid of.
In Doomsday or like after the reboot?
Let's do Doomsday for now. Like, because we're talking about like what they're going to do in the movie, what they're going to ignore in the multiverse saga. And then a little bit, let's talk about the actual reset and what we expect from there.
Ooh.
Like, I think Shang-Chi's beacon.
Get rid of is a little ambiguous there. I think here we're talking about get rid of in terms of what do they not even bother mentioning.
Exactly.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly. Of course.
So no Gaia. I think that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one.
I think you're right.
Because it wasn't popular and it was a Disney Plus show. And ultimately you don't need her in the movie. Like, Skrulls were inconsequential in the Marvels, let alone in Avengers Doomsday. That's a great one.
Yeah. And I agree with Mike. I think no young Avengers. I don't think we're going to get any of them.
Really?
Possibly Wiccan and Speed. I don't know.
Maybe, only
because of Wanda, but I don't think. But
we're not getting Ms. Marvel.
Hawkeye. We don't get Ms. Marvel.
I think the young Avengers are in the end. Yeah, and I think that's going to be set up
in Secret Wars,
in the end of
Doomsday. In Secret Wars. But yeah, I don't think that they're going to put those guys in this one.
You think it's a post-credit scene?
Maybe. Possibly.
I'll tell you who calls Kate Bishop and is like, "Hey, we need 2% more help from you and a bunch of teenagers. Go get Patriot. Go get, I don't know, whoever else. Who have they established? Scar. We need Scar.
Do you guys think that we can have a post-credit scene? Do you think a post-credit scene would work? So, Colton, you did a great video a few weeks back where you talked about the Young Avengers and how they could be the ones on the Ark. That, like, where their memories are preserved, so when the new universe starts, everybody worships Doom except for them. I wonder if a post-credit scene where they're just on a ship would work, you know, and they would be like a scene from Secret Wars, but we get to see them, they're together, we go, oh, who are they? What, they're the saviors, these kids, you know what I mean? And then maybe in Secret Wars, we see how they got on the ship or what the story was there. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I like the idea of, like, our heroes, and I mean, this is basically what I got into in that video, but we know that the Avengers and the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, they're not going to be like down on the ground fighting like Doombots in New York City. I think that's where the Young Avengers could come in. And that's where they could, like, as the universe is collapsing, I don't know, who all would be a part of it? I forget who I even
the
had
street
in there.
Level, street got, level people would also be a part of that fight, right? So we got Young Avengers and then we also got Daredevil, Punisher, Luke Cage.
Wow. The Daredevil Born Again season 3 of it all is very confusing because that movie's going to come
it
out.
Is.
Or that show
yeah, but
gonna
Spider-Man's
come out
coming out first.
After Doomsday, but before Secret Wars. And yeah, exactly.
We have to remember that Cassie Lang is very knowledgeable of the quantum realm.
That's very true.
And Kang.
That is true.
And she is now connected, I think, because we know that Kamala's going to get her. And she got Kate Bishop first. So I could see those three maybe being the core, like, Young Avengers that we see going to the quantum realm via, like, a raft or something. Yeah, that'd be neat.
I would be shocked if Vision Quest doesn't end with Wiccan showing up to find his brother and saying, let's go get our mom. I think that's the big thing they're setting up for Secret Wars. And then those guys run into the three of them. So, yeah, those are all things I think they'll keep, but not necessarily in Doomsday.
And so where is their mom? In the void.
Yeah,
which
Mom
is
Division.
Battle World.
Yeah, and then WandaVision bookends the whole saga. I would love that. I think you're 100% right.
Ryan's
is there anything else
seven.
You guys think they're for sure going to keep or is necessary for Doomsday?
She-Hulk twerking. They're keeping it. They're keeping it. I'm calling it. She-Hulk twerking all day, all night. Doomsday, that butt. Let's go.
Hey, I said it 100 times. Megan Thee Stallion is one of the coolest artists I've ever worked with. Like, before she was actually famous, she came in the room and you could just tell she was going to.
Wait,
she's great.
What? Okay, you worked with Megan Thee Stallion?
Oh, you haven't heard this?
No. I filmed her for XXL.
Why would I have heard this?
I filmed it for XXL for freshman years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've talked about it before. I'm not trying to like
friends.
Brag. I don't really care. Yeah. No, she's.
I just didn't know.
Right, no, but that's awesome. Dude.
Well, anyway, I was pissing next to George Clooney, and I was talking to him about my taxes. And
I pissed next to Tony Iommi once, which was really weird. That was a strange, like, yeah, the hand holding that's the hand that made heavy metal, that created heavy metal, and I'm right next to it. Anyways, let's talk about what happens after this reboot, and then maybe we'll talk about the Spider-Man trailer that leaked, and I definitely didn't watch the leak. So
and then Whale Fall.
Exactly. And then we have to get the people that they want. What do you guys feel like you're looking forward to the most about the soft reset?
Oh, and Monica's going to be picked up on because we know she's in the X-Men universe.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I meant to say that.
Oh, yeah. No, Monica will be in the movie. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I 100% think. Because she's the one who can explain things to people. Wait, it's like when Leia, when the Ewoks are about to eat Luke and Han, and then Leia shows up and explains what's going on to them. I think Monica is Leia.
They're from the Marvel movies before Iron Man. They're cool.
They're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you need a lot of exposition for Photon because she's was in WandaVision. It's another thing that a lot of
people that's true. She was
a long time ago.
And isn't
they
it
might
weird
not have seen the Marvels, so they got to be like
Monica Rambeau could be in this movie, but likely Carol Danvers won't. I mean, this is somebody who headed a billion-dollar film, and I don't even know if Brie Larson. Wants to come back at all.
I think it's a surprise or something, or maybe they're not putting her on the advertising because they think it'll be have a negative reaction if they advertise that she's in the movie, which is screwed up. Yeah. But
well, yeah. What was your question about the what we're looking forward to in the reset?
Yeah. If you guys want to pivot over to that, if we're done talking about Doomsday.
X-Men. I can't wait to see like
in the actual MCU.
In the actual MCU, like in a live action film with other superheroes. I've only ever seen the X-Men in things with other X-Men.
Yeah, that's true.
Other than the cartoons, which I grew up on and absolutely loved, but those crossover episodes where like Captain America would show up and like go on a mission with Wolverine were the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic Four as well. See.
Yeah, same.
Spider-Man
I'm looking
too.
Forward
that's
to
Spider-Man
seeing
Animated
them get
show,
to
the best.
I just want to see them get to a point where they're a little bit more back to the comics and less away from the movies, right? Because Robert Downey Jr. became Tony Stark. He embodied the character in a way that like, and that gave Tony Stark an outsized importance that he's an important character in the comics, especially during the events of Civil War and the fallout afterwards. But nobody would ever be like, oh yeah, Iron Man's the flagship hero of Marvel Comics. I would really like to see a Marvel universe where all these characters are back, Steve Rogers, Iron Man, whoever, and just recast and just kind of go back to adapting those stories. So I think the movies, in more ways than one, the movies even started to affect the comic publishing for a while, where Marvel started to hand down edicts that you couldn't create more X-Men characters when the rights were held by Fox. And I loved these movies the most when it was taking those comics and giving them like cool spins in the real world and adapting them straight. And as soon as they moved too far away from it, I think it lost the magic.
No, I 100% agree. I think that a lot of like my disappointment with the most like some of not all, obviously, I still like a lot of these movies and shows, of course, but like some of my disappointment comes from the fact of that, like that we don't. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. What was I just going to say?
That's okay. Well, I was talking about comics and like when I watched the Battle of New York, it felt like I was watching a splash panel.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to. Yes. So it really bothered me that back in the day you could do really cool solid theorizing about what might happen based on the comic books that you'd read, and you knew that they were going to change it, like you knew that like things were going to be different, so you didn't fully know like what was going to happen in the story. But I loved that the comics used to be like a little roadmap for these movies, and that it was for people who, if you knew, you knew, but you didn't have to like read them to go in and enjoy it. And I do really miss that. I really, really miss having things that feel more comic booky and less comic book movie-y. I also hope that they return to that.
Also, a unified plan will be really good to have. You know how like the MCU, they used to do so many projects that they used to have so much time between projects that they could do things like... Like when Hydra's forces fire their guns, they're from the Tesseract. They sound like Tony Stark's arc, like his arc reactor, because it turned. You know, you can theorize then, like you're saying, Whitney, the arc reactor then must have been derived from the technology from right. the Tesseract that Howard. So there were all these little things they could do. But right now, when they're making so much stuff, and I love a lot of the stuff they've made, you know, but when they're making so much, creators get siloed from each other, and it's harder for people to kind of pick up and coordinate and add to. You know, my favorite example ever is the idea of Doctor Strange seeing all those realities. They got that from Doctor Strange and the Ancient One saying she saw possible futures. So I want these people to be able to build on each other. Sorry, Colton.
They need someone. I'm available. Who can come in and kind of just be someone who pops into every room and like can go into an editing room when they're editing a battle sequence or doing the sound design and say, hey, you know what would be cool is if you use this same sound effect from these blasters in this movie that when they were on that same planet, like just little interconnectivity stuff like that.
That used to be Kevin Feige before he became like the head of a studio.
Maybe like a fan liaison. Or something like that'd be a cool role. Like,
well, and, it used to be the creative committee, and thank God it's not.
God, can you imagine the job applications for fan liaison? Those would be the most toxic fucking job applications in the universe.
Oh man, that could just be a YouTube channel just reading them out loud. What you're talking about is even less likely to happen because they fired thousands of people from their VizDev department.
Yeah,
and that department is the reason why all the MCU movies kind of felt like they took place in the same universe, which wasn't always a good thing because the look got stale. But sorry, Mike, I stepped right on what you were saying.
Oh, no. All I was going to say is they should let me audition for Wolverine because I'd be great.
I keep saying it.
Bring a lot of hard work. I'm not even kidding. I'm a good actor. I'm like a short, angry Sicilian guy.
Yeah, I was going to ask how tall are you? Because
so much authenticity to the role.
Hell yeah.
I could do the nose snarl.
This is me standing.
A shot. Or at least read my War Machine spec script. Just do that.
Okay.
But I have
it. Someone's got to write a War Machine spec script. All right, Colton, go for it.
Another good title for this role that I'm totally not pitching for myself. I love my job. But I could do it like at night or something. I don't know.
Night, yeah.
Is
if you got offered a job at Marvel and you passed it up to keep working here, I'd be like Ben Affleck and Good Will Hunting. I'd fucking kill you.
Like, 100%.
If I come to your door in 20 years and you're still there, I'm going to fucking kill you. Sorry, guys.
I'm gonna fucking kill you. They need the actually. They need somebody on set, who kind of like a script supervisor, who like maintains continuity and stuff. They need somebody there that can kind of do the, and like somebody to speak up for Elizabeth Olsen when she's trying to tell them, you're kind of retreading what we already went over in WandaVision.
Yeah.
But it needs to be somebody with power. It needs
to be somebody to be like
Nate Moore or Brad Winterbaum. Somebody like
Statue of Liberty should actually be copper at this point because not enough time has passed for the oxidization to occur.
It has to be someone who is.
Yeah.
Yes, but it has to be someone that has a title, like in all seriousness, like an executive producer title, where they have the authority to walk up to the director and say, hey, you need to do this. It can't just be some, you know, like slightly above intern guy who's like, well, actually, you know, in this issue or whatever. No, it has to be like somebody with some authority to go in there and can actually demand, hey, this is wrong. We need to adjust this.
Did you ever hear Sam Witwer's story about Padme and when his first gig on the Clone Wars?
Yes, it was. She was meeting Anakin's mom, right? And he was like, actually, they've already met at this point.
Yeah, so what it is his first day recording, they didn't know who he was. He wasn't Darth Maul yet. He was like soldier number two. He was doing a thing for the Mortis gods. And there's a part in that episode where, you know, Dave Filoni's there. They're all there. And he's sitting next to Ashley Eckstein because Ahsoka's in the episode. And then there's a line in it where Ahsoka tells a ghost of his mom, like, oh, I'm in love. I'm married. I can't wait for you to meet her. And Sam Witwer interrupts and goes, actually, and everyone looks like, who the hell is this guy? And he goes, yeah, Padme and Shmi have already met. And they like, And then Ashley Eckstein told him, I've never seen anybody out nerd Dave Filoni. So that's
let's see that in the episode though. Let's see Ghost Shmi be like, wait, her? She came to the house when
she came to the house once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you're marrying her?
You're marrying that lady? She was, you were 8 years old and she was a senator? That lady?
You were like chattel property.
Yeah, Predator Amidala.
I don't like any part of this.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, that went a different way from how I thought. We did have some super chats.
Is like, you've been groomed.
Jesus Christ. Anakin, you have to get away. This is terrible. Wait, you're living
and
with
somehow the not by the Jedi Order. You've been groomed by someone else.
Oh, no. I just want a post-credit scene where she's being interviewed
by a wealthy order. Politician.
Let me get this straight. You stole a slave?
What is Naboo if not an island of servants?
And he's now in a cult.
Resign, he will.
And you're married to him.
Yeah. You just do the Chappelle Show bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The disgrace Jonah is design resign he must
resign let's he get will.
I want to get to these super chats before we talk about Jean Grey. Armand, friend of the channel, he's here every day, gave us £2, said, hey guys, it's me again, I'm drunk today, what's happening?
Yeah,
in his defense, yeah, or their defense, yeah, it is 5 hours ahead of the East Coast, so good on you.
It's
for
noon for me, and I still supported you when I thought it was noon wherever you are, so just FYI.
Whitney's like, I bet you're in Hawaii and it's 6 a.m. and have a great time.
Exactly. Nope. Have a great day.
Stay
Jordan
out of the
Freeman
ocean.
Gave us $2.
Whales.
Jordan Freeman. What's it called again? Whale fall? Can't wait to see it.
Whale fall. The whale is going to fall. Okay.
From where? Where is the whale? Where does it fall to?
You have to see the film and find out. Jordan Freeman gave us $2 and said, what happens to the Crossover Universe podcast? We're still hoping to do it. We just had to put it on pause for a little bit, but got to get Heather on the show ASAP. Monty G gave us $2 and said, chat, solve this. Have Luis from Ant-Man do the recap. I've heard that before.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
Yes, that would be so fun.
If you're looking for a good Michael Pena West in the meantime, check out Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's a damn good podcast.
We have a fun one. Tommy B, MT, Whitney. You can't come on the show unless you rhyme. I'm sorry. Just
you
kidding.
Can't beat me.
There you go. Wait, Rick's Ryan Taylor Airy works. So
I'm there.
You can call me Mikey. I can
Mikey,
go Mikey
works.
There we go.
I guess I'm just out. I'm done.
Nah, yeah, Colton, you're fucked. Yeah. You're fucked. You're never. No, Colton.
Rick Taylor gave us
$5.
And said, going into phase zero since the first Avengers Assemble, what does it feel like? Why does it feel like Marvel's Nick Fury has more up his sleeve for this saga like the Young Avengers? I don't know if Nick Fury is going to, I don't know. I'd love to see Nick Fury come in. I've always thought, like, I thought originally Endgame would have, like, Nick Fury walking through the portal and being like, I told you, Mr. Stark, you're part of a bigger universe. And then they did it a different way, but they might call back to that.
I kind of wish they'd had Nick Fury in the portal. Seeing the big battle at the end of Endgame, like coming out of there with like two giant guns and just like,
yeah.
I mean, they had Shuri there with little blasters, like so I can't Nick Fury.
Howard the Duck was there.
Yeah.
Pepper
Why
got in
Nick
on.
Fury? Yeah. Yeah. In armor that Tony made.
And I mean, she is a hero in her own respect.
And then, like, while Tony's dying, Nick Fury's in the background scraping up DNA. Secret Invasion, like,
exactly.
It makes that whole thing way grosser, that Secret Invasion plotline that they added to that.
So weird.
Do you think they
oh my god,
him?
That's I mean, who Dr. Loves, Doom is.
Everybody loves Samuel L. Jackson, but if they reset, you think they want maybe like a younger, scrappier Nick Fury that is like going on missions with them?
Who
as
can
opposed
run?
To like,
yeah. What?
Who doesn't have it in their contract that he doesn't have to run like Samuel L. Jackson does?
Yeah. Can't
God,
run.
That would be in my contract.
Tom Cruise,
so fast.
He has to run.
I kind of feel like,
he does
have
to. He also has to skydive.
I want. He does, yeah, and also get his ankle broken. I want everybody recast. That's my answer to that. I want everybody recast.
Everybody.
Eventually, everybody.
No. Eventually recast, right? When an actor's ready to step away from the role, someone else can play. Actors are very good at what they do.
Hear that, Hugh? Time's up, Hugh.
Do you want them to
step
do that? Do you want them to kind of do it like with James Bond, like where they just keep the continuity going and they recast, except within the MCU, it might be, well, here or there, new actor coming in. Because you wouldn't do it all at once. There'd be some
here
movies.
And there. Here
they
and
just
there.
Fire everyone in the MCU at once and bring in a whole new cast. No, I think too many people would be very upset.
But even with James Bond, it's not even like it's one continuity because Pierce Brosnan's M was Judi Dench. But then at the end of Daniel Craig's, it goes from Judi Dench to being the classic M from the original. So like it always is like
who was the same continuity from Connery through, I think, Brosnan's like first movie. Wasn't Q the
same? And then it became John Cleese, right?
I want them to recast Steve Rogers. I think
eventually.
Well, eventually, of course, but I think that Chris Evans still has a lot of years in him to do some really cool Captain America stuff. Like, I don't want to go right back to, you know, origins of Steve Rogers.
But if he wants,
I don't need another origin.
Go do something else. I kind of want to see, you know what I'm disappointed in, though? We're talking about the thing earlier, what we'd like to see in the new universe. I just want to see Captain America kill Nazis. I was always so disappointed in First Avenger that his entire World War II experience was a montage where he didn't kill a single Nazi. That's what I wanted from that film, because that's the end of this comics.
They need to do a movie with Captain America, King T'Chaka, and Wolverine fighting Nazis in World War II. That.
And then Indiana Jones does a cameo, because it's all owned by Disney, baby.
All owned by the same. And Namor has to be in that too.
Yes.
And then Indiana Jones turns into the Red Hulk right in the middle of it.
Because he's a variant. Right. Yeah. Mm.
No, I mean, Marvel 1942 video game has been in development for a really long time. Looks really good. Who knows if it'll ever come out, but it's supposed to be Captain America and King T'Chaka, or even, I think, his dad. It's like T'Challa's grandfather in World War II. And I'm so down for that. I think we should get some period pieces. I want more period pieces out of the MCU. If there's all this, like, eons, millennia of cosmic history and how it impacted the Earth and everything else, like, give us an older story.
Couldn't agree more.
You know how much money a Chris Evans, Hugh Jackman, Captain America, and Wolverine movie would make?
God, that would make so much fucking money. It would be disgusting.
Yeah. And have the balls to make it rated R. Yeah, World War II, rated R, bloody war movie.
Not for nothing.
They could also do a thing in that if the Howling Commandos are all still active in it, because when they first introduced the Winter Soldier in the comics, Steve does a little bit of retcon history. He's talking, I think, to Sharon Carter, and he's telling her, like, look, one of the reasons Bucky was with us, he wasn't just like a teen sidekick. He was the killer. Like, he was trained to go into places and slip in under darkness and murder people. And it's just, we didn't see that in the happy-go-lucky Captain America comics, you know, where he was a teen sidekick. So they can actually get into that and maybe lay some groundwork for why he made such a good Winter Soldier, because the movies don't address it.
And I still really hope, even though I'm like, I want them to keep Chris Evans as Steve Rogers, I don't want that to hold them back from like doing a Kieran Culkin, Tony Stark, or who, like, I like your idea of just, you don't have to recast everybody, but you don't have to keep everybody either. And I was actually just working on a video before we got on here talking about how Star Wars needs to do the same thing. They don't have to reset everything and recast everybody. But it is time to recast Han, Luke, and Leia. And I think you can do the same thing in Marvel. Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. The Guild of Calamitous Intent, which is one of my all-time favorite YouTube videos here, gave us $10 and said the Guild just wanted to say hi to Whitney.
Hi! Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. Hi, hello. Thank you for joining in.
And Phil Arumba from Down Under gave us $8 and said, just supporting the channel. Love the show. Love you back. Whitney, do you cover the Venture Brothers? Have I asked you this before?
I don't cover the Venture Brothers on Whitney Vision, but I am in the middle of covering Rick and Morty. So everybody go watch those.
Links for that will be down below. They're not right now, because until the last minute, we hadn't locked in the guests. So like, it still has a bunch of different people listed below, but we'll change that.
That's fine.
And then Mr. Sinister 585 gave us $5 and said, what should they tweak or add in Endgame? What's crucial for a strong connection to Doomsday? Now, we've talked about this before. I'm curious, Whitney, Mike, I want to hear from you guys. The Russo brothers did say they're kind of going back and doing a little George Lucasing to Endgame, adding in some things that connect to the saga. The thing that we like to bring up is like the hammering sound as Dr. Doom making his armor at the end of the credits. But do you guys have any ideas? What could they add in to, I don't know if it's in the background, if Dr. Doom is like on an abacus in the background in Asgard and those time travel scenes are like
Dr. Doom cantina scene has to be. No other answer.
Wait, Dr. Doom cantina scene?
Yeah, he's got to be the CGI guy doing the karaoke in the cantina scene. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
If they're doing a George Lucas retcon, give me the whole thing. Give me the whole fresh Lucas, baby. I want that.
I think the only thing I would like them doing in that way, like going back and adding something digitally, is like the Watcher in the background of scenes or something.
That would be cool as fuck. The Watcher being added back in would be cool.
It doesn't interfere in any way. It's not as if the characters could have canonically like seen him or spotted him or anything like that. It would, I think that would be neat, like window dressing.
You know, a good place to put him? It might be too distracting from a really cool moment, but when Steve faces Thanos' army and he's by himself, if you could put in a vague hint, you don't want to detract from it, because the only other moment I can think of is like when Doctor Strange holds up his hand. But even then, it's not a big sky shot.
Or when Tony dies, because there's that big sky behind Pepper, kind of. You can, that'd be cool.
But then again, hold on. You know what the most crucial moment in that movie is, though, as far as the multiverse? It's probably when Loki steals the Tesseract, right? Because that's the part that He Who Remains wrote that caused the whole multiverse shit to happen to begin.
That was the only thing that happened that wasn't supposed to happen. Well, apart from
the Watcher does a double take.
Yeah, the Watcher's like,
Think what they're including in Doomsday is going to be something to do with what happens with Steve between the time platform and getting on the bench.
Oh, you think so?
Well, because that's got to be the most important thing there. We know Chris Evans is coming back. It's going to be the version of him in the past that's coming in through Doomsday. So I think they're going to show, they're probably going to add in a scene after he gets on the time platform, or like maybe even, because the movie ends, the final shot of Endgame is him dancing with Peggy. So you could just have the movie keep going after that and do like a, like show their life together and all
Like Back to the Future too.
Yeah.
Right after the first movie.
I see a lot of people who just like to get pissy about things say, oh, this movie's, pun intended, doomed because they're having to re-release the other movie and put in stuff to make this one makes. No, they don't have to. They're doing it they're doing it one to make more money off the movie, maybe get it over that 3 billion line. There's nothing that they're putting into this in-game re-release, the Doom edition, Doomsday edition, that's going to be like required viewing. It's just to make money.
They got to dry run all this Infinity Vision equipment that they've been sending.
Oh, that's true.
They got to make sure that all the Infinity Vision stuff works.
Which is definitely a real thing.
Definitely a real thing.
It's just free marketing for Doomsday. It's just part of their marketing for Doomsday, I think. I don't think it's, we got to get re-release Endgame with this new scene or everybody's going to be lost.
It could also just be as easy as showing Loki on the throne during a mid-credit scene. Like it could, because the movie has no mid or post-credit. So it could just be that they're doing that, putting the Watcher in the final battle, and you know, maybe that's something else earlier on.
All right, we got a mid-credit scene, Loki on the throne. We got a post-credit scene. It's the scene from Iron Man 1 of Tony Stark in the cave, but instead of the guy from the conference in Bern, it is Wong or somebody else that is teaching him the mystical arts, and then he becomes
Loki at Tony's funeral.
Or Kristoff. Yeah, Loki at Tony's funeral. That'd be kind of weird. All right, guys, I got one more super chat, then we got to wrap it up. We got Alex Cohn gave us, if only one R-rated movie is made, which character? And I want to codify that and say not somebody we've already seen. So Wolverine's already had his and Deadpool have had theirs. So somebody new who only one person gets it. Blade? Fantastic.
Blade would be good.
I want my World War II Captain America movie.
Your ultra bloody, murder Nazis. Yeah.
And I want Captain America to say the F word.
If it's the Punisher, if he's in a movie, he has to be rated R.
There's no way.
I think One Last Kill proved that.
That's what I'm like saying about like going to see the new Spider-Man movie is I'm like, I watched One Last Kill and I'm like, how is that guy not going to just be like, fuck this, fuck that, you know, like the whole Spider-Man, like I just saw him doing this other movie. I'm very excited. I'm so excited for Spider-Man.
Yeah, me too. And I definitely, and speaking of Spider-Man, I don't think we're going to get to that before we have to sign off for today. I will say the trailer leak I've heard includes pink energy being thrown around, which is what Jean uses in the comics and in X-Men, the animated series. And it definitely seems like they're confirming Sadie Sink. Do you guys think there's any chance she does not play Jean Grey in this movie?
Nah.
I hope she doesn't.
I hope she's Shothra too. I don't think she's the bad guy. I think that's all bait and switch. I think she's being used. Yeah. I think 100%. Her powers are being used maybe by Miles Warren, Jackal. Yeah.
I agree. I would be shocked if she was actually a villain. I think she's definitely being used, but then it throws in this whole thing where she's perceived as the villain, and then that leads to the public fearing and hating mutants, which again goes back to phase zero and the idea that at the next saga, we're going to be talking about the mutants and things like that. So that brings everything full circle. I'm going to have to let you guys go there. Whitney, find her on Whitney Vision. And then, yeah, the links are down below. Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you.
And then Mike, you can find him on Mike M Comedy on Instagram.
Yeah, that's Mike M below. Comedy.
Shows running every
All
Tuesday,
my whale right? watchers out there, get ready for whale fall. It's coming in October. It's going to fall, and it's going to fall hard. Whale fall. Get your tickets now before they're gone.
And, Mike gets a commission on all those. Thanks, Mike. And then Darian Thompson gave us $2 at the last minute. They're only adding Doom watching at the end. Yeah, it might be just watching through a window and setting that up. That would also be cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Oh.
Colton, we're going to let you go. Thanks so much. You can catch Colton on his own channel or here on Screen Crush all the darn time. Links for those are below. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
And we want to hear from you guys. What do you think about the idea of Phase Zero, and what do you want to see from a Marvel reset? Let us know down in the comments or on our free-to-join Discord server. I meant to shout out Lando Bacon became a Screen Crush staff member on our membership tier. We've also got Kaylee Summers, who's celebrating her six-month anniversary, and Daredevil Mogs Doom also is a favorite customer. And we got lots of great tiers for the memberships. If you want to join, you don't have to stay on forever. You join for a month, take advantage of the merch discount. Enjoy. It's there for you guys so we can all be part of a community together. And if it's your first time here, make sure you subscribe, smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Aaron.